The scripture reading this afternoon is Psalm 110. We read together Psalm 110. And there we read the holy word of God, a psalm of David. The Lord said unto my Lord, sit thou at my right hand until I make thine enemies thy footstool. The Lord shall send the rod of thy strength out of Zion. Rule thou in the midst of thine enemies. Thy people shall be willing in the day of thy power. In the beauties of holiness, from the womb of the morning, thou hast the dew of thy youth. The Lord hath sworn and will not repent. Thou art a priest forever, after the order of Melchizedek. The Lord at thy right hand shall strike through kings in the day of his wrath. He shall judge among the heathen. He shall fill the places with the dead bodies. He shall wound the heads over many countries. He shall drink of the brook in the way. Therefore shall he lift up the head. The text for the sermon is the first part of verse 3, where we read, thy people shall be willing in the day of thy power. So far. Beloved congregation, we know on the day of Pentecost that 3,000 men confessed faith in the Lord Jesus Christ. And this afternoon we see also members of our congregation, two young members, Abigail and Sam, who wish to do confession of faith here in church. It's a good thing to confess the name of the Lord. And we cannot do that in our own strength. But the Lord is able and willing to help and assist us in our yes answer. And so it's the Holy Spirit who makes people willing to follow the Lord Jesus Christ. And that's also what we find in our text, taken from Psalm 110, thy people shall be willing in the day of thy power. So we see here Christ's power, and this power is demonstrated, it is resisted, it is experienced. Christ's power, this is demonstrated, it is resisted, and it is experienced. Psalm 110 is a beautiful psalm. It is the most quoted psalm in the New Testament. And it speaks about the majestic and the glorious reign of Christ. That he is enthroned in heaven in glory. That from heaven he gathers his church. And he will also execute judgments upon all those who resist him. In this psalm speaks of those who are saved and also of people who are struck down by the wrath of God. The text we consider speaks of power, thy power. And that is the power of the Lord Jesus Christ. Because this psalm is a messianic psalm, which is clearly evidenced from the New Testament. It is quoted there as a reference to the Lord Jesus Christ. And also the Lord Jesus quotes this psalm in verse 1. The Lord said unto my Lord. He said that to the Pharisees. It's all about Christ and his reign and his rule. And it speaks there about the power of Christ. Well, the power of the Lord Jesus is his omnipotent, glorious power. He is the King of Kings. The power of the Lord Jesus is beyond our imagination. By his power, he created heaven and earth. And by his power, he became human flesh. And by that same power, he ministered to people, working miracles among the people, doing signs, healing their sick, feeding their poor, raising their dead. The power of the Lord Jesus is his omnipotent power. But it says here in the text the day of thy power. And what does it mean, the day of thy power? We can say that's the day upon which the Lord demonstrated his power even greater than by his ministry. We can think of the day of his power, the day upon which he vanquished the devil on Calvary, when he could cry out, "It is finished." The day of his power, that was the day of his resurrection from the dead. He overcame death, grave, and corruption. He conquered the devil. That's the day of his power. And we think the day of his ascension. The day of his ascension when he arose to be with his Father and is now seated at the right hand of God the Father. And upon this day of Pentecost, we think especially of the day of his power when sinners are converted, like that took place 2,000 years ago in Jerusalem. 3,000 men were brought to conversion. This is the day of his power, and that will be the glorious outpouring of his Spirit upon human flesh. From that day onward, the Spirit of God was moving in the midst of this world. It started with those 3,000 men. They were pricked in their hearts. They cried to God for mercy. And then Peter told them that whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. So we may say the day of his power was also the day upon which God's Spirit was poured out. The Lord Jesus, being seated at the right hand of God, having universal dominion, rules in the midst of his enemies on earth. His enemies rise up against him, but God's counsel shall stand. He makes people willing to obey him, like Saul of Tarsus, who was as a wolf for the early Christians, and yet he was changed into a meek lamb in the day of the power of Christ Jesus. And by his power, the Lord redeems people and brings them into communion with him. The day of his power. We can say that's the day when his word is being preached. And that happens throughout this world. Because by preaching, although it's nothing in the eyes of men, nothing but foolishness, but Christ demonstrates his power through the preaching. People are overcome and are brought to repentance by the preaching. The gospel of Christ is called the power of God unto salvation to everyone that believes. And so the Lord Jesus executes his power in saving sinners, and he does that by the preaching of his word. And also the day of his power is when he raises up men who are convicted by God's Spirit that they must go forth and proclaim the deeds, the word of the Lord. They may look up against that. They will certainly feel unqualified to do that. But yet by the power of the Lord, they are drawn. They have personally experienced sin and grace. And so the Lord equips them and trains them so that they would go forth to preach the gospel, what they themselves initially never thought they could do. But it's by the power of Christ that this happens. In the day of his power, he draws ministers of the word so that the outward preaching continues. It's by his power that sinners are converted under the preaching. That's by the power of his Holy Spirit. And then the Lord removes impediments. He breaks down resistance. And so his servants proclaim the Lord Jesus Christ. as the one who is the chiefest among 10,000. And then his servants have to proclaim that he is the one who is lovely. And the matchless glories of Emmanuel are proclaimed. And sinners realize that above everything in this life, they need to live in communion with this blessed Savior. Because he alone saves from sins. He alone leads us in a life of devotion to him. They are uncovered to their lost condition. That's in the day of Christ's power. They feel their ruined state. They become anxious for deliverance. They start to thirst for the living God. They are awakened, for the Lord Jesus is at work in their hearts by the powerful working of his Holy Spirit. And so the Lord Jesus demonstrates his power, showing that there is redemption in Christ Jesus alone. The day of grace from on high is introduced. And so this is all by the power of God's Spirit. Yes, the day of Christ's power is most comforting. Maybe you've experienced that. Maybe there was a day in your life when you saw that you were stuck in the power of the evil one and that you needed redemption, not just forgiveness of sins, but you needed a new life. You saw you were lost. And then the glorious liberty which is in Christ Jesus became very real to you. And you started to pray as you never did before. The gospel became clear to you. It was a precious day. The gates of heaven, as it were opened for you. And that's all a result of the power of Christ, that in the day of his power, he worked in your heart. That day of Christ's power is necessary. Without this power, no one will be saved. Every single one of God's children has been drawn in the day of Christ's power. It was already prophesied in the Old Testament, in Isaiah 11, verse 10, and in that day there shall be a root of Jesse, which shall stand for an ensign for of the people, and to it shall the Gentiles seek. And how do Gentiles seek after this sign set up? It's by the power of Christ. He draws them. They are struck with the word of God. And then those who are drawn, then you realize that as you're reading God's word, that God's word is reading your life. And you saw Jesus as altogether necessary. And precious. This enlightening work of God's Spirit is essential. So that power is demonstrated. And we may say also when young people desire to confess the name of the Lord Jesus, and they desire to live with him, they desire to live with his word, they are drawn by the power of Christ. But this Psalm 110 also speaks about the power of Christ which is resisted. Because by nature man is unwilling to bow for the power of Christ. Although people may realize that God is almighty, that he has every right to our lives, man resists these overtures of grace. And man wants to soothe his conscience. And man says, well, later on, I've time to seek the Lord. Man is unwilling to receive everlasting life. That shows how addicted we are to sin. How awful sin is. How terrible the natural condition of man is unless a miracle of God's power takes place. That sinner will persist in rebellion. Because the Lord says to us, thou shalt. And our reaction by nature is, we will not do that. And on the other side, when the Lord tells us, thou shalt not, the man responds by saying, I want to do that. Because man wants his own way. Man wants to be independent of the Lord. Man wishes to be his own master. He does not want to obey the law of the Lord. He wants to follow his own will. Not thy will, but my will be done in life. That's our natural unwillingness. Have you seen that already in your life? Have you confessed that? You know, that resistance against the Lord Jesus can also happen in a more subtle manner. The man is aware that he is a sinner and that he is somewhat aware of the wrath of God. And so he simply wants to be acquitted from punishment. But at the same time, he's not really interested to know Christ. He just wants to be saved, as he calls it. He just wants to know that I can go to heaven. And for the rest, I'll just live my own life. How many are there in churches who live like that? They do not want to perish. They want to go to heaven. But they do not surrender to the authority of Christ. They don't listen carefully to his word, how they are called to live. And still they say they have faith. But their faith rests not upon Christ, but upon themselves, as long as they can be saved. And this resistance against the power of the Lord Jesus is also manifested in another way, that people hear the preaching of the Word of God and then they try to do all kinds of things to gain salvation. They try to reform their own lives. They try to improve themselves. They try to do their best. They forsake certain sins. But their hearts are still not broken. They're even very content with themselves that they behave so well as they think. And they are still not lost. They are still not, have still not come to an end with themselves. They have too high thoughts of their ability. They become little Pharisees. They do not understand the gospel. They see no glory in Christ. And that's why there's little seeking of the Lord Jesus. There's little thirsting for him. Because they are content with what they have done. They are young, rich rulers who do many things. And that will save them. And they do not consider the offers of Christ that he is freely offered. They're very religious. They're very polite. But they are forsaking Christ. And congregation, it's the natural bent of our hearts and souls in one way or another to go against the Lord Jesus Christ. We have excuses. We've all had them. We may still have them. We say to ourselves, we're not as bad as others. But the reality is, it's unwillingness. It's resistance. And we are all infected with this mortal disease. Has it become the desire of your life to be made willing? Have you seen that you are by nature unwilling, that you need to be made willing? Has this become a burden to you, your own unwilling heart? Our wretched, sinful attitude. Do you desire that that will be overthrown? That you know that you must believe, but you see you cannot believe. That you're unable. That becomes a burden to you when the light of God's Spirit shines upon you. When the power of Christ enters your heart, you realize your inability. That's why Paul called himself a wretched man. The good that I will, I do not. But that which I do not want to do, that's what I do. It's a natural enmity, the natural unwillingness, my inability. And then a prayer is heard, Lord, make me most willing in the day of thy power. And then we see that Christ's power is experienced. And that's a glorious work of the Holy Spirit. On the day of Pentecost, we consider this power of Christ, this third person of the Trinity, the Holy Spirit, who works out and effectuates the power of Christ. The Lord Jesus is revealed to us in Revelation 19 as one who is riding in white apparel on a white horse. He bears a two-edged sharp sword coming out of his mouth. That means the word of the Lord is powerful. It's a two-edged sharp sword. And him riding on the horse that is going out to battle, going out to overthrow the unwillingness of sinners, making them very willing, gaining them for his kingdom. He is omnipotent. He has the power to judge the nations, but more than that, he has the power to save lost sinners. He makes those who are unwilling, who resisted him, to be very willing. And this is the hope for this world, the hope for the church, the hope in our lives, that the Lord Jesus Christ makes people willing in the day of his power. The Lord Jesus converts his enemies. And his divine plan of salvation, that sinners will be drawn in, all the elect, that plan that was already devised in eternity will be carried out sovereignly. Regardless of any opposition or any resistance. Because the Lord Jesus makes the most unwilling person most willing. Because he is powerful. These people will be his own people. Why does the Lord Jesus does that? Why does he do that? Because he loves them. Why does the Lord Jesus love those people? Because it pleases him to love them. That's the only answer. It's free grace. Nothing of you, child of God. Not because you were better or nicer than others. It's only because of his one-sided love that he drew you and he overcame your unwillingness. Christ redeems and purchases a people to be his own peculiar, special people. Before they were converted, they were already given to him. They were given to him in eternity. Before the foundation of the world, the Lord knew all the names of all his people. Every single one, every detail of their lives, He knew that in advance, before the world was even created. And in Corinth, the Lord had many of such people who were now leading immoral lives, who were now still worshipping idols. And so the Lord Jesus stood by Paul in the night, telling him, "Fear not, but preach boldly, for I have much people in this city." And so Paul was emboldened to preach there at Corinth. And Paul knew that they would be made very willing by the power of Christ. Very willing. Like servants who are called to work, and they're not forced to do this, but they choose to do it for their masters. "What can I do more for thee?" Or like soldiers who are not conscripted, but they're volunteers. Volunteers. Because they're made willing. Have you been made willing? Has your natural resistance been crushed? Do you belong to this blessed Savior? Is your life as a living sacrifice at His feet? That you say, "Here am I. Send me, O Lord. For I desire Thee." Christ's people are a willing people. They don't want to live anymore without the Lord. They see Him as altogether lovely, necessary. Their entire being falls down at the feet of the Lord Jesus. They want to have His yoke. They want to have His burden. Because His burden is light and His yoke is soft. And the Lord will never lead them in a way that's too difficult for them. He will always be there. The eternal God will be their refuge, their hiding place. And they will be for sure led to enter into glory. They may suffer for a short while, but the sufferings of this present time are not to be compared to the glory that shall be given to us, the apostle says. And these people see that. Therefore, their life is Christ. They live for Him. He is their hope. He is their aim. The Lord leads people to follow Him. Again, that's prophesied. Isaiah 60, verse 3, "And the Gentiles shall come to thy light, and kings to the brightness of thy rising." The Gentiles will be made very willing. Revelation 14, verse 4, "These are they which follow the Lamb whithersoever He goeth." Then you're no longer concerned in the first place about yourself, but your concern is the Lord and His honor. And when is a person made willing? What does he experience then? Well, he sees that he cannot save himself. That he needs the Lord Jesus Christ for everything he does. And he delights in the thought of resting on Christ for salvation. It's not even in the first place to be delivered of wrath, of God's wrath and punishment. But the first thing is that he would follow the Lord Jesus and obey Him, that his life would be hid in Christ, being a follower of the Lord Jesus. Such a person has a hatred to all manner of sin. He has a longing that his heart will be changed more and more after the image of Christ. He desires to be totally free from sin. And at the same time, he realizes that this is not possible here on earth. And so he rests on that finished work of Christ, and at the same time strives by the power of God's Spirit to live according to God's will. His attitude in life has changed. His demeanor has become much more pleasant for those around him. They notice a change, and he himself is willing to follow the Lord in smooth paths, but also in difficult days when there's hardship and affliction, because the aim is not myself, my ease, but it's the Lord, his will, his way. It's an unreserved desire to have Christ over against everything of this world. And they will feel mockery. They will feel a form of persecution, because God's children live in a hostile world, and they will suffer hatred for the sake of the Lord Jesus. But these are people who are no longer affected by the smiles or by the frowns of this world. They're not affected by the bribes or by the reproaches of the world. No, they are affected by Christ. And to depart from Christ would be more bitter to them than death. And that's all because of the love of Christ poured out in their heart. That's why they are made willing. And that's why they want to be in secret places. They have a joyful hope upon the Lord that he will listen to their cries, that the Lord knows their groans, that although at times they experience him not and feel him not, but they continue on in the way the Lord leads them, they struggle forth. And their lives appear to them to be so barren, but yet the Lord is at work bringing forth fruits of righteousness. These people who are made willing, they long for the upbuilding of Zion. They are concerned about the cause of Christ in this world. Their souls are being refreshed by Christ, and they know that everything comes forth from him, and that's why they cleave to him. And this is all wrought by the special power of the Holy Spirit, the power that accompanies the reading of God's word, the power that accompanies the preaching of God's word. That power penetrates hearts and displays the deadly attitudes in the heart and displays the loving kindness of the Lord. And then your unwillingness melts and you start to love the Lord and long for him, to walk in the beauty of holiness. And the Lord draws people by bonds of loving kindness. And you will belong, you desire to belong to his people, to commune with others who have that same longing. And that's because the road to the world has been blocked in your life. And you long to be with others, to associate with others who also have that same love and desire. And at the same time, there is this continual cleaving to the Lord Jesus. And by the blood of Jesus, such people have boldness to enter into the holiest place, direct communion with the living God. And by his strength, they fight the good fight of faith. And by this communion, they are clothed with humility. You desire holiness. Because the followers of the Lord Jesus are described in Revelation 19 as clothed in fine linen, clean and white. This is the beauty of holiness, the clothing of God's children. Holiness. This text, verse 3 from Psalm 110, speaks about the beauty of holiness, its beauty. And it speaks about the womb of the morning, about the dew of thy youth. But this refers to young people who in their young years are drawn to the Lord Jesus. And in the morning of their days, they desire to devote their lives to the Lord Jesus. And that's because their eyes have been opened to see the glory of the Lord Jesus and the blessedness and the beauty of holiness. And so the youth of our life should be devoted to the Lord. Then the course will be set for life. And so, young people, let your lives be devoted to Christ. The morning of your days should be devoted to Christ. The morning of your life, the youth, those years should be devoted to the Lord, that He would instruct you and lead you in the way you should go, that your life would be at His disposal, laid down before Him. Speak, Lord, for Thy servant heareth. Teach me the way I must go. Lord, take hold of my life and unite my heart to fear Thy name. Have you been made willing? Young people, do you know His loving kindness? What does the service of the Lord Jesus mean to you? Is it still on the outside of your life? Or is it within your heart? That you struggle against indwelling sin. You've seen it, you experience it, and you hate it. And have you seen the beauties of the Lord Jesus Christ? That your life must be for Him. Is that your aim? Is that your delight? Have you been made willing? Have you experienced the power of Christ? What does His Word mean to you? We're here in a service when two young people wish to do confession of faith. There are more young people. And what about you? You've not yet done confession of faith? You can do it tonight before the Lord. That's where it starts. Confession of faith doesn't start here in church or in confession of faith class. No, it starts before that. Between you and the Lord. That's where you do confession of faith. Why don't you do that tonight? Why don't you try to lay down your life before the Lord? You say, Lord, I need Thee. In this world with so much corruption and deceit, this world with so many pitfalls, I need Thee. Overwhelm me, Lord Jesus, with Thy power. Make me willing that I may lose my life in Thee. Because there is a day of Christ's power. How long does a day last? Well, 24 hours. It's a day. It's not the year of Christ's power. It's not a lifetime of God's power, though it's the day of Thy power. And a day is quickly spent. There's no guarantee that next year the power of the Lord Jesus will still be there for you. You're now under His Word. You are now under the offer of His salvation. Now is the day of His power, that you may strive to enter in and take the kingdom of heaven with violence. That's holy violence. Just like that man of Pilgrim's Progress, you must have read that, who enlisted and wrote down his name on that parchment. And then he put on his armor and put his sword on. And he had to barge through all those soldiers, those enemy soldiers that were blocking the entrance to that glorious castle. And that castle was heaven. And then he said, in the strength of the Lord, I will fight through. And he gained heaven. That's the day of Christ's power. The Lord is now knocking on the door of your heart. You're under His preaching. You don't know what will happen next year or tomorrow. It's the day of His power. And the day comes and the day goes again. There have been people under the day of His power, and they kept on resisting His power. The Lord could have overcome them. But the Lord also lets us have our own responsibility. What do you do in the day of His power? Seek to live close to Him and be saved and be willing. Amen. Shall we close with prayer? Majestic and good-doing Lord, who art the all-powerful One, it is because of Thy power that there is a church in this world. It is because of Thy power that Thou dost work in young people's hearts, and Thou dost gain them for Thee and for Thy service, that there would be a committed resignation to Thee. O Lord, we thank Thee for the day of Thy power. And we pray Thee, Lord, visit us with Thy power upon the day of Thy power. Wilt Thou revive us again? And wilt Thou pour out Thy Spirit, that Thy people will be very willing in this day of Thy power? We pray, Lord, if Thou wilt work in each of our hearts, of each and every one here in church, and grant, Lord, that we may be convicted and convinced of the necessity of living with Thee. Lord, have mercy upon us, and lead and guide us in Thy truth. Be with us in this week to come. Keep us from an unprepared death, and watch over us for Jesus' sake. Amen.